DDP.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Relax. We'll keep the world covered for you.
99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening. You should be too.
The latest updates, current issues, and lots more on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Weeba Boor on Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM. It's good to be back again. The week seems to go by really, really quickly. Last week we had Demi Adesina from Rensource on the show. And this week I'm happy to say we have Ifeanyi Orajika on the show. He came in from Port Harcourt this morning to be with us. He is the CEO of GVE, which is Nigeria's largest mini-grid company. And he has a remarkable story that he's going to be sharing with us today. He's an award-winning he's an Obama fellow. He's got so many things under his name. But most importantly, he's bringing light to people in rural communities all over the country. So Ifeanyi, welcome to the show today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Webe.
You bet. So I'd like to start with a question. You know, I think you're still not even 30 years old. Maybe you are 30 now, but I know you're a youngster. And you still built this amazing company. And I know you started the company when you were actually a university student with some of your friends. So a lot of people out there thinking, oh, you know, I have this idea about power, but I'm too young or too inexperienced. I don't know what to do. So I think there's a lot they can learn from you here today if I want to really pull out your story. So if you can start by telling us about that moment when you were at the Federal University of Technology, Owerri, when you and your two fellow students just decided, hey, we're going to try and do this. We're going to make this happen, and we're going to start solving the power problem on our own. And doing our own thing and making a business out of it. So what was the situation? What brought you to that?
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Webe, for the opportunity. I would say for us, and just for every other Nigerian, we always think about the power issues the country is facing. But in most cases, only just a few people actually take the bold steps to see how to go about resolving this. So our Eureka moment actually started, I think, 9 years ago when we were still in our, I would say, third year in the university, during our third year internship in one of the leading oil and gas multinationals in the country. And we happened to have the privilege to intern for this company, because just like every other young engineering student, the aspiration usually always is to build a career in the oil and gas industry, and we were right on track on that. But sometime along the line, during some of our undergraduate internship field visits to some of the oil facilities in the Delta region, it occurred to me personally that while some of these facilities are always lit up, but communities neighboring to these facilities who are actually the hosts and beneficiaries by God of these natural resources that all of us in Nigeria enjoying are usually in abject energy poverty, because you see them from afar during the day, but once it gets dark, they just disappear because they don't have access to electricity in the 20th century, which is at the time I saw as a very big anomaly. So while having lunch in the mess hall of this multinational company, I popped up the question, or popped up the experience to two of my classmates who happened to be interning with the same company at the time, and we happened to be from the same department in Foto, as the University of Technology is popularly called. So coincidentally, the both of them were actually having the same thoughts, and for us it became very binding. So we had the united vision from the very start. So, but we pretty much didn't know how to go about it, because we had very limited or no resource. We had very limited or no experience at the time to tackle such a phenomenal challenge. that will make a significant endpoint at the, that particular time. But details of the challenge and having seen it reoccurring in several other locations across the Delta, it became a burning issue. And coincidentally, along the line, the IEEE stands for the Institute of Electrical Electronics Engineers. The president came up with an initiative called the IEEE Presidents Change the World Competition, which was aimed at identifying students who could prefer real-life solutions to real-life problems, to solve real-life societal challenges, but can also be replicated on a global scale. So we put in our concept notes at the time, and interestingly, we almost didn't put in that entry, because we actually submitted it on the last day of the entry, and we tried twice.
Why the hesitation initially?
Yeah, so because it was a global competition, and coming from Nigeria, coming from Futu at the time, the current buzz of entrepreneurship and students building enterprises wasn't as popular as it is now. So we have that hesitation. How do we even compete with the likes of D-Box out of Imperial College? How do we even compete with students from China, Japan, US?
So but you did it, right?
Yeah.
And you competed. And you beat them.
Yeah, so actually, we tried submitting twice, and due to very poor internet link, we hit an error, but we tried the third time, and fortunately, it went. So we just put in our hope there, hoping that something positive would come out of it. Interestingly, a few months later, after assessing the entries from roughly about 200 entries from different parts of the world, we were ranked one of the top five finalists from out of all these entries. So we're really excited. It came with a $1,000 USD award and a paper certificate, which still hangs in my parent room. So, but after a while, think about 1 year down the line, we realized that still the problem wasn't solved. So we went back to the drawing board to try to build on some of the skills that will be needed to at least show, come up with a pilot, show that it actually does work, that this solution we had, just three paragraphs of concept notes, can actually be translated into a viable project. Mm-hmm. So we wrote again to the IEEE Foundation, and graciously, I think that was one of the happiest days of my life, because I never believed it could happen. Because we wrote a very bold and ambitious proposal for about $44,521. I still remember.
21, you know, down to the one. How many cents?
It's a very remarkable day in my life. So I think about December in 2012 precisely, I got an email with my very small Nokia phone at the time that we had been selected by the IEEE Foundation Board to actually receive the award. Immediately I called my colleagues, and wow, the feeling was very phenomenal. Okay. So, and we proceeded to actually start our services. So we wrote the IEEE Board to defer the project implementation by a year, to enable us to complete our mandatory national service. But coincidentally, at about the same period, the Bank of Industry in Nigeria and UNDP collaborated to onboard what was called the Access to Renewable Energy Project, which had the similar vision like we had, which is providing electricity to rural businesses, rural households, and SMEs in also in peri-urban areas. So we applied to the UNDP BOI, and again, towards the tail end of our service, we were very lucky to, I think that was in December 2011, we were privileged to actually be selected as one of the 11 winners, particularly for Riverside, because at the time we wanted to carry out the pilot project in the very state where we identify the anomaly. Personally, I'm from Anambra State. Okay. So most time people ask me, why rivers? So I think this is the right platform to actually shed more light on that. So the BOI UNDP project actually came with a $30,000 support. But interestingly...
That was a grant or a debt?
A grant.
A grant, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So interestingly, since part of the $30,000 was used to pay Deloitte to do a pre-feasibility study on all the 11 winning applicants. And that process, because all the while we just had the engineering aspect of it and a little about project management, which we had researched about. But that experience, that process of working with Deloitte transformed our life and has created a path for millions, over 100 million Nigerians, mm-hmm. and over 600 million Africans, mm-hmm. to be able to have electricity using mini-grid technology. Because what that process helped us realize was that the problem we saw in these communities in the Niger Delta, we're not just limited to the Niger Delta alone, but that 55% of Nigerians do not have access to electricity. And judging by our population, the country's population at the time, it was somewhere between 90 to 100 million people. Mm-hmm. And your guess is as good as mine. That pretty much hasn't changed even till date.
Right.
So it helps us to build the skills around business, finance, and several other management aspects required to build a business. And the interesting thing was, up until this point, the whole mindset was for us was to embark on the first pilot project, mm-hmm. and continue with the oil and gas career.
Okay. So now you had your 40,000 plus 30,000, and now you had your pilot site. So now so this is the point then when you went and just tried it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And at that point, nobody knew what a mini grid was. There was no regulation. There was no support program. There was nothing. So you guys went, found the communities, and then and just tell me how it went.
Yeah, so it's been a very challenging, but very exciting journey, because I still remember vividly, even opening the corporate account was a very huge bottleneck for us, because I and my co-founders, we had to frequent one of the banks in Owerri, the branch in Owerri, which was where our university was at the time, to try to open an account, and they kept posting us, probably because they were like, what are these kids coming here to do, looking to open a corporate account?
And you were how old then? You guys were what, 22?
Yeah, about 22 then. Okay. Yeah.
So you can't blame the bank manager, perhaps. Okay. But, okay, so now someone finally opened an account.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So, before we actually embarked on the period, because we wanted to have it up and running and legitimately from the very start. So we approached the Ministry of Power and the regulator as the NEC to find out what the policy and regulatory requirements. And to our greatest surprise at the time, nobody in both government perspectives knew anything about the mini-grid technology then. So we are more or less like the guinea pigs.
Okay.
So in their very words, they were like, go ahead and try out this and send in some reports afterwards.
Wow, okay, so you actually set the pace.
Exactly.
And that everyone else is riding on now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So, and what did they think when 22-year-olds walked in and said, we want to do this, that they had no idea what it was? Were they polite to you? Were they friendly?
Yeah, to an extent they were friendly, and I think they were actually blown away by the thoughts of we as young people trying to take on this. And I think what actually also gave them comfort was that we already had some backing from the IEEE and,
right.
and the Bank of Industry at the time.
Right. So now you proceeded then, I think your first mini-grid was 6 kilowatts, is that correct?
Exactly, yeah.
In Eche?
In Eche, in Egbeke,
okay.
in a community in Eche local government area.
Okay.
So
give me some stories. So like this community had no lights, and now you brought in your mini-grid. What did it mean for the people there? Tell me some specific stories of impact.
Yeah, okay. Right from when we started the project, the community were very skeptical that it would work, because they didn't understand the concept of having solar provide electricity for the houses.
Mm-hmm.
All they knew at the time were just solar for street lighting or small solar lamp. But they were really amazed that solar can actually power all their lighting points at home, power their TVs and various other appliances, and even refrigerators. So a special case, Mrs. Berichi in Ebeki, she runs a convenience store, and she was always forced to close her shop at the latest by 7 p.m. because the community just gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody in the community would just go home and retire for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that more or less inhibited her productivity and the amount of waste she could sell on a daily basis. But by introducing electricity, she could now be able to stay up until 10 p.m., 11 p.m. in some instances. And that automatically skyrocketed her productivity and her profit.
Mm-hmm.
And equally, because of the electricity and because she can now have a reliable sort of cooling drinks and other stuff, the other thing is that the appeal of the value add to her end users were very significant,
mm-hmm.
and which translated into increased sales for her.
Did it also create new jobs? Did she have to hire people?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I think about a year after the project, she had actually opened one additional shop and had hired three additional people. And also interestingly, people who know Riverside and issues to be precise, security is a very, very serious and critical issue. But as a CSR, we decided to put some street lights and some light bulbs along the main alley of the community, and that helped significantly to build the social culture of the people, because they can now stay out in the brightest of the night to discuss. Youth can now discuss, and that significantly translated into improved security,
right.
because from their households they can see who was passing on the street.
Right. Yeah. So, and what about the economics? Like they're paying for it, right? They're paying for the power.
Yeah, exactly.
And how does that work?
So from the initial design, it was supposed to be free of charge.
Okay.
It was supposed to be 100%. So the metering components didn't come in, but along the line, through the Deloitte process, it made us to think about the sustainability of the project.
Mm-hmm.
And sustainability translated to what happens when, for instance, the battery dies.
Mm-hmm.
How do you replace that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how do you get...
So initially it was really just a CSR project.
The CSR, exactly.
Okay, you hadn't thought of the economics.
Exactly. And also another interesting thing to factor, because in the initial design, we actually had touched of power in just 20 households.
Okay.
But along the line, we incorporated energy efficiency and got some energy, 3-watt energy balls, and that immediately tripled the impact.
Okay.
So we moved from just 20 households to 60 households. And later on, we put in some prepaid meters, and the households now pay for energy per use. And the interesting thing, because we did an extensive analysis before the project and surveys, I think about 38 communities within the ATA Axis in collaboration with Deloitte and the River State Sustainable Development Agency. And the interesting thing was that by introducing energy efficiency and by providing this service, we actually cut down on their previous energy-related expenditure by a factor of 3.
Okay.
Because they used to spend on a weekly basis somewhere, I think, about 3,000 to 5,500 per household.
Okay.
But that significantly was reduced.
Right.
By getting a reliable service and incorporating energy efficiency measures.
Yeah. So now you've expanded from there, you've grown into a proper company, you have a board, you've gotten grants, you've gotten debt facilities from Bank of Industry, and I believe you now have 11 mini-grids around Nigeria. In
That's 12, actually.
12 now,
yeah.
Okay, in 6 states. And from what I understand, you have like 99% payment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
99%. And so when the distros are complaining about people not paying, what are they doing wrong, and what are you doing right?
Yeah, I think Nigerians currently pay a premium on self-generation. And I think Nigerians, even starting with me, all we want is to be able to get the right level of service and value. We wouldn't mind paying, because already we are paying in some form.
Mm-hmm.
For paying a higher cost for electricity. So So that actually translates to what we are doing in the grassroots, because even though, for instance, a liter of petrol sells for about between 143 to 145 naira in Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, and several other major cities, in these communities, because of their distances from these the major nerve centers, they pay a very significant amount for the same level of service. For instance, a liter of across the board, because now we've expanded to I think about five different regions in the country, so we have details from these several regions. So on an average, a liter of petrol sells for between 200 to 250 naira. Mm-hmm. And even in some cases, like for very remote communities, island communities in Bayelsa, it goes for as high as 300-350.
Wow. Okay. So if you have local generation through solar, and then they can pay as you go, they're actually getting a much better deal.
Exactly.
Right. So now, okay, so you're all over Nigeria now. So tell me, what states are you in and what communities?
Yeah, so currently on the mini grid business, we're currently in seven different states. That's Rivers, Niger, Gombe, Anambra, Plateau, Akwa Ibom, and Sentobe in Bayelsa State.
Wow, fantastic. So, you know, you told us a bit about that lady in Rivers. I know that the Bisanti one in Niger State is probably the one that's most known. And I hear that people even from cities in Niger State are actually moving to this village because they actually have better power in this village in the middle of nowhere because of GVE than they do in Mina or in Bida. So tell us a few stories there of what life is like now in Bisanti.
Yeah, so, to throw more light on that, on the 6th of October this year, Bisanti celebrated 3 years of uninterrupted power supply.
24-7 uninterrupted 24/7
power. 24-7 uninterrupted power. So you only get an outage when maybe you run out of power units on your meter.
Right. But they don't. There's no outage because of the utility, which is GVE.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that has significantly transformed the community, turning it into an economic hub, because people from Bida, from Mina, and several places are now coming to Bisanti to either set up businesses or to buy products, because they are getting significant value from that, from the reliable service. And also it has created a very big problem for us, because neighboring communities are now always on our necks to replicate and extend the same type of service, because we've seen the value over the past 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been consistent, and they've seen how the community has been transformed. For instance, a special case citing a young man called Ibrahim, who Before we commissioned the Bisanti project, he's a tailor. He just had two sewing machines. Now he has eight, and he's employed eight additional people
in Bisanti.
In Bisanti, exactly.
Wow. That's amazing. And so this is something that could theoretically be replicated in every community around Nigeria that doesn't have power and is off the grid.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna go to the phones and see if there's any calls, and if not, we'll keep talking. But if you can tell them what the numbers are.
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-0993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. Do we have a call?
All right. Hello. Go ahead. Tell us your name and ask the question, please.
Hello. My name is Manuel.
Manuel?
Yes.
Emmanuel, okay.
Yeah, I just want to give a big thumbs up to the guest in the studio. You're really doing a very great job. I really do appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And again, this solar energy. What does it take for them to replicate this all around Nigeria? I mean, there should be other competition with the electrical power supply we have. I think it should be more better.
Right.
But if there's a competition, so the power system and GenCos will be able to improve their supply chain. Because I think if there are no competition, there are just enter the light can break the light for you. I think that is not an improvement in the power supply.
Right. So maybe if Yanni, you can respond to that question and maybe talk a little bit about what the government is doing to actually help replicate this across Nigeria.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Emmanuel, for your question, and thanks for the compliment. So actually, currently, we in GVE, we're serving about 5,200 households across seven different states in Nigeria, and that makes us the biggest PV solar mini-grid provider in sub-Saharan Africa. But that level of success actually doesn't come on notice, because the government has actually seen the through these successes has seen the importance of distributed especially distributed renewable energy services to get a hold of Nigerians electrified. So by that, the government in collaboration with the World Bank is working on rolling out 10,000 mini grids that will bring electricity access to several millions of Nigerians across different states in the country.
All right, so help is on the way to scale this up, and obviously that's a very, very important thing. Do we have another call? Okay. All right, go ahead. Please tell us your name and give us a question. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Ibrahim Danielson.
Okay.
Calling from Lagos.
Okay. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is that, can they extend it to Lagos? At least they get one of the estates in Lagos and then start from there. Some of the estates would like to have it.
Okay. All right, thank you for that question. Yes, I figured that someone would call and ask if Yanni could come to Lagos, so maybe you could respond.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny Singh. So actually, we're in talk with some estate developers to actually replicate such initiative to estates within and outside Lagos as well.
All right, but I think it's important to note for people in Lagos, we often feel like we're the center of Nigeria and all innovation comes from here, but I think in this case you're hearing an innovation that came from River State and has gone all over Nigeria and hasn't even touched Lagos yet, but it might be coming soon, so hold on. All right, is there one more question? And then we'll have to round up.
Hello?
Hello? What's your name? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello, how are you? Good morning. What's your name? All right, and what's your question?
All right. What are the rules that, and what authorities do you need to meet to do this?
Sorry, say that. What authorities do you need to meet?
You said you met with NEC and what would they, I mean, the government grant you the permission to do this? But I'm just hearing about it.
Okay, so maybe if Yanni, you can walk the listeners through the regulatory process, what you have to do to get permission to set up a mini grid.
Yeah, okay, so when we actually started, there was no regulation and there was no policy regarding the mini grid, but now we've worked with the government and multilateral agencies to actually set up one of the best distributed renewable energy policies in the world. And through the regulation, the mini-grid regulation, any generation below 100 kilowatts, you do not require any form of licensing or permit. It's voluntary to just register. But for generation between 100 kilowatts to 1 megawatt, you will need to get a permit. And anything above that, you will need to get a full-fledged license from the regulator, that's NEC.
Right, and what I understand is that they're actually very helpful and they turn this around very quickly, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this is not a typical government bureaucracy. It's done very, very efficiently. So unfortunately, we've run out of time. Our 30 minutes flew by, but I think anytime you're listening to a legend in the making, you know, that's how it goes. And I've often said on panels and so on around that some of these early businesses that are now providing alternative forms of power, the CEOs and founders are going to be our next generation of billionaires. And I think Ifeanyi is on track to do that. So he's a guy you all need to get to know. He's the future of power supply in Nigeria. He's the future of sort of the young entrepreneurs that are transforming this country. It's been a pleasure to have you on the call, on the show today. Is there any final words you have to say to Nigerians about what they can expect in the next 3 to 5 years when it comes to power?
So for us in GVE, thanks for the compliment. For us in GVE, we actually want to celebrate our 10th anniversary, which would be by 2022 by impacting 2% of Nigeria's population. So we have a very significant amount of work lying ahead of us, and we're very optimistic and very determined as a team to make that happen. And a good thing, we now have very supportive and very good team around, like from the corporate governance and also from the other aspects such as multilateral support. So we're very optimistic that that will make that happen.
All right, so by 2022, Ifeanyi and his team are going to supply power to 4 million Nigerians. So there's hope on the way, there's help on the way. And in Nigeria, we're blessed with young entrepreneurs like Ifeanyi who are going to fill the gaps that, you know, the old people haven't been able to fill. So we're looking forward to that. And thank you, Lagos, for listening. I look forward to being back on the show next week at 11 a.m. for Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3.
The latest updates, current issues, and lots more on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
More talk, news, and sports after this.
Fashion. Art. And culture, a powerful combination. Carnival, January 26 and 27, 2019. The revolution starts now. Don't be told.
Ever heard about dyslexia? It is a brain condition that makes people, children and adults, experience difficulty in learning, especially reading, writing, spelling, and comprehension. What are the signs and symptoms? How can it be managed? Tune in for all these and more at 9 a.m. every Saturday for a live discussion with the Dyslexia Foundation on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to your number one talk, news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Cause I wanna blow. She bella, she SS3. I've been blessed with the melody, Lord. That was many years ago. Yeah, I don't take my blood. I don't take my blood. When only heaven knows. So give me one hit song, Lord. Let me blow like Olamide. Give me one hit song, Lord. Pick me up like Adekunle go. Lord, I want to blow like Mimi. Small doctor, I owe you to me. Give me one hit song, Lord. Let me blow like Olamide. Right now, for a me, Shelly, oh Lord, where you did. Oh, that boy, he's calling me. Cause I believe in you, really, there, Lord. Oh Lord, you show your face. Yeah. I don't think, I don't think. Oh, yeah, give me one hit song, Lord. Let me blow like Chubaba. Give me one hit.